Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome to the new series of the First Down Snapcast. I'm your host, Richard Butler. I'm joined by our fellow analysts, Ian Davis, Charles Clawson and Stuart Horsfall. How are you all doing tonight, guys?
Hey, well, thank you, Richard. Good to be back. Great.
Good, thanks, Richard.
Good. Stuart, are you good? As well as
Stuart's
DIY?
He's got technical issues, yeah. I think.
I'm still here. I've got technical issues, but I'm still good.
So what I thought we'd do tonight, we'd bit of a throwback and just recap 2020 season, our thoughts and where it went. Obviously, I know we all have various comments on how the season went, different areas. I know Ian started with much sort of optimism, and then after about 5 weeks, it ended.
About 2 weeks.
No, they did well for about 5 weeks.
No, not that long. That Atlanta Falcons game where they came back at the end, that was the highlight, and then it was downhill.
Yeah.
Right from there.
Oh,
and didn't we know it?
Yeah.
It did start, though, because I think you'll be first to admit, and I think beginning of the season you were quietly confident, weren't you, that it was going to be Dallas's year?
Yeah, I was trying not to get excited about it, because you know what Dallas fans are renowned for, saying, yeah, this year it's going to be high. I'm thinking, don't think that. And I did right not to think it.
then it was just quietly quiet after that.
Yes.
No, he had the odd trading with Vikings fans on the Facebook group of who was going to do good each week.
No, I think it got to be who was going to do the worst out of the Vikings or the Cowboys. That was the discussion after a bit.
It turns out that actually, I mean, when you look at it, we were bad, but we weren't as bad as I thought we were going to be in the end.
To say you were relying on a run game and on a very highly paid quarterback just passing it off to a running back as his main player.
Well, I mean, that's doing Jefferson's record a little bit of a disservice.
Well, I won't get into that.
But I do think Kirk's marginally overpaid. Marginally overpaid. I mean, and I only say that in comparison to what other quarterbacks are getting paid and what his production is. I just think that when you're paying a quarterback that much, it kind of hampers your roster in other areas, especially with the cap now being reduced. I think it spells trouble for a lot of teams that are carrying quarterbacks on those kind of salaries.
Yeah, I think you touched on it there, Stuart, that one of the highlights of the Vikings season was the rookie Justin Jefferson breaking records, it seemed, left, right and centre.
Yeah, I mean, our offense actually wasn't too terrible. Dalvin Cook was still, I think, second highest rusher in the year. And obviously, you've got Jefferson breaking Randy Moss's record. So it wasn't actually terrible, but our defense was just a soggy paper towel. It was terrible. And a lot of that came from the fact that we couldn't get any pressure up front at all. You know, you're missing players like Hunter, and obviously Pierce opted out for the season. Well, that's your best nose tackle and your best edge rusher out. And the people that came in just weren't, they just weren't at the races. They're just not the same kind of calibre. And if you can't get pressure on the quarterback, you're just giving them all day to throw. And we have a really young secondary, which I think has got a lot of potential, but I just think that we gave them far too much to do this season.
Because how long did Yannick stay at the camp from when he arrived from Jacksonville? He didn't seem to be there 2 minutes before he was off to Baltimore.
I think it was six games, but it was up until like week 14. He was still our highest. He still had the highest number of sacks in the Vikings, and he hadn't been there for 5 weeks. So that kind of just tells you the complete and utter mess that we were in. But you know, new season brings new optimism, doesn't it? So
I think the issue obviously at Vikings have got, they had a very, in Charles's team in Green Bay, a bit of a rejuvenated Aaron Rodgers, and the Green Bay team looked pretty much immense up until the playoffs.
I think they always looked, they started off the season like the end of last season, where they looked better than they actually were, but I think they sort of worked their way into it as the season progressed. And I mean, going right the way up to the game against Tampa, I think you know, it was anybody's game, that, and really I thought they were 50-50 to go through to the final.
So, I mean, to be honest, Charles, I actually thought Green Bay were a lot worse than they were in previous years. And I think a lot of teams are. I think the lack of crowds in the stadiums has kind of taken an element of intensity off the games. And I don't think the Super Bowl was the first really where I really saw the Bucs perform well to that kind of elite level. Because they just had a little bit more intensity about them. And I don't think, even when the Chiefs were winning all the games all year, you know, they were good and they were efficient, but there just seems to be something missing in quite a lot of teams this year.
I think the missing of the fans was definitely noticed in all the divisional games, because there was just no rivalry there. There was a few games what allowed so many fans in, but it was very sparse between them. Dallas, I think, allowed a few into some games, but not much.
Dallas quite often had about 10,000, but when it's 100,000 stadium, and Dallas isn't big parties. It's not like the Saints or the Chiefs or a place like that anyway, where the crowd are really behind you. So yeah, I mean, as you know, me and Charles have been to New Orleans a couple of times to see the Saints, and I think that's the most we've seen a partisan crowd for the games we've been to in America. And I think that will have hit the Saints this year as well.
But I mean, it probably gives the players probably an extra 3-5% maybe.
I bet in New Orleans it gives more than that. It's absolutely intense.
Yeah,
because it's enclosed.
It can be that way when it's against them as well. Because I mean, one of the games we were at, I think it was the Panthers game. They were throwing seats just because they were losing near the end. They were throwing everything onto the pitch, weren't they, Charles? Can you remember that?
Yeah.
I think
prime
example of like where fans were missing in playoffs went Seattle at home against the Rams. If Seattle had that their extra supporter there, it might have gave some confidence to put a bit of pressure on Rams, but the home games just were non-existent anymore.
Yeah.
What was everybody's kind of highlight then from the season?
I enjoyed watching the Bills play.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I enjoyed
it. And I think it'll be the same next season as well, with a couple more additions.
I really enjoyed watching the Browns play.
Well, yeah, they were good.
I tell you what, Stefanski needs to get a medal for what he's done with them lot, which is great on me a little bit, obviously, because he was ROC. But he's done a great job. The amount of coaches that have gone in there, head coaches that have gone in there, and not being able to get them into a winning formula, and he's I think he's done a really good job in obviously getting them pointing in the right direction, and that makes that division interesting for me.
Yeah. And that was without one of the star players.
Yeah.
Whether that ultimately made a difference or not, we'll see this season. But you would argue that that's a big player to lose for most of the season.
Well, there's mumblings, isn't there, that he's potentially getting traded again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'd heard something along those lines. But I mean, he's a potentially a star player. Whether he comes back in injury or not, another matter.
They've got a good running game though, aren't they, in Cleveland with Kareem and Chubb. Tandem running game.
Well, he's. I mean, Stefanski's obviously modelled the scheme very much to the scheme that he had as running in Minnesota, which is based around getting the run first, which is kind of a run first, and then build the play action off of that. But he does a lot more misdirection than we ever did in Vikings, and that the kind of thing where you saw Landry throwing a touchdown to Beckham. We would never, ever, ever see that kind of thing. There's no way that Zimmer would ever allow any kind of fun to be had on a football field.
You mentioned Kareem Hunt, and was it surprising to see him back after the problems he went through at Kansas City?
No, he was always going to get another chance, and Cleveland took the chance because I think they hardly paid him any money last year in 2019 to secure him. And I think he played again, not much last year. I think it's this year they'll pay him a little bit more. But I think it was a no-risk gamble for him, really. Because they drafted Chubb as a rookie. They knew roughly what they were going to get, but they weren't for sure.
Yeah, and he was immense when he, at the time, it all fell apart at the Chiefs. And he just seems to be getting back into that sort of way of life now.
Yeah, I think he's settled there nicely as well, which is good.
Exciting player to watch.
I'm going to bring up a topic here because I know it does gripe on a lot of people. So the rookie awards at the end of the season. Now
you're going to set Stewart off now.
I know, but I don't think that Stewart's not the only one though, because I understand seems to be a lenience in awards that the quarterback always gets it.
Yeah, I agree with that now. Player to me, not the rookie ones. Player of the MVP.
Yeah,
it's quarterback. Whatever happens nowadays, it's quarterback. I don't know. I just don't get it.
Same with Super Bowl. No. There was several people in that Tampa team who deserved the MVP in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Gronkowski was one. Fournette put a good case for it. But it is quarterback driven.
Yeah.
And Devin White for me all day long.
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl, I thought he was absolutely immense. As a linebacker, especially the speed in which he covers the field, I just thought it was unreal. I thought it was the game changer for him.
And also the fact that Rodgers, whilst I think despite what you say, Stuart, I think he had a good season. We didn't have a brilliant season.
No. But, I mean, with quarterbacks, stats can paper over quite a lot of the cracks. And that's one of the things, like, if you know, you look at Kirk Cousins, if you look at his stats, he looks like a top-five quarterback, but
yeah,
that's not. Sometimes you've got to look past the stats for me. You know, the only really award that really griped on me was the Rookie of the Year, because and I'm not taking anything away from Herbert because I thought he had a fantastic year, but he's broken a record that was held by Baker Mayfield, so it's only stood for what, 2 years?
Yeah,
you know, Justin Jefferson missed the first game of the season, didn't play on the first game of the season, and beat Randy Moss's receiving record, which has stood for, what, 20-odd years?
Yeah.
Good point.
So that for me is what makes it... And it's not taken away from Herbert. And if they hadn't been on... You know, if Jefferson hadn't have done what he did, then I would be, yeah, it's a Herbert. But for me, the longevity of the record says... what he's achieved.
Back to quarterbacks again.
And it's back to quarterbacks again. And I, don't get me wrong, there is argument saying it's the, you know, it's the obviously the most important position in a team and stuff like that. And I get that. But, you know...
Dare I just start winding Ian up by mentioning something about quarterbacks at the moment and then I'll let him speak. But Dak Prescott's a good case in point. You know, I like him. I think there's a lot of potential in him that he's perhaps not shown at the moment, and yet his figures for before he got injured were out of this world. I dread to think
yeah, but
how,
no.
how would have attained by the end of the season. But
again, this is Stewart's argument. The reason his figures were good when he went was because we were playing so badly, and so for the second half of the games he was having to throw long bombs constantly, which some of them were coming off. And he was having a decent season. I'm not saying he was having a poor season. He wasn't at all. But the figures were skewed because of how badly the
team
was
put into that position that he had to go gun-ho. He couldn't do the run game because of how far behind they were.
The prime example that plays to that fact, Ian, is looking at how badly a season Zeke had.
Yeah.
Because he was never used because they never got into a position where they couldn't manage the game.
And he's been getting slaughtered for it. But, he didn't have a great season. But the fact was we weren't giving him the ball because we were behind and we were having to throw it. But the funny thing about Prescott getting injured was it's the one time I think your contract talks have been strengthened by being injured, because he got injured in that game. And I think I rang Chael straight away and I said, that's his big contract, down the pan, he's gone. And yet, other people came in, couldn't do anything. And you sort of thought, hang on a minute, how well's Prescott played behind that crap offensive line? Yeah. And so from you thinking, he'll be out at the end of the season, it actually made his case stronger because it showed what he'd been doing that people hadn't thought about.
Yeah, I think if the Cowboys had have had a slightly more mobile quarterback, they might have done slightly better this year, because with that O-line, you need somebody who's just going to kind of move around a bit. And that's where Dak's players were coming from, is the fact that he was extending the players because he's got the legs to him.
Yeah.
And if you'd have had a backup quarterback, and no offence to Dalton, but he ain't going to start moving around in the pocket to extend players. He's a pure pocket passer.
Yeah.
And I think if they'd have had somebody a little bit more mobile, then you might have done slightly better, because they would have been able to extend the players. So I'm still 50-50 to whether it's improved his contract chances. Because like I said at the start, I think paying quarterbacks that much money now, where the cap's been reduced, you kind of take it, you're paying Peter to, you know, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
Because somewhere in your roster, you're going to be weakened because of that fact that you've had to pay your quarterback so much guaranteed money. And that's the decision teams are going to have to make these days.
I feel
tonight we're probably going to speak about a lot of quarterbacks in last year and this year. Going back to last year, Alex Smith. Redskins get rid of Haskins due to problems, and being reported earlier this week that Washington are going to ditch Alex Smith as well in the off-season.
I think he is.
Is he already gone now?
Yeah, he's gone.
Well, they can't officially until I think it's the 16th of March when free agency opens, but they've
actually said it, haven't they? Yeah.
Because I know they re-signed Henke, didn't they, to a new deal.
Heinicke.
I don't like some of these quarterback names because I can't pronounce them all.
I think Heinicke could be their starting quarterback next year, you know.
Don't you think that that Washington never actually wanted Alex Smith back, and he took him a bit by surprise by getting fit again, basically?
I don't think they didn't want him back. I just don't think they ever expected him to come back. I think there's a difference.
Yeah, they'd not planned for it, had they, at all?
I just don't think they'd planned for it. I think they don't plan for his career to be over.
No, I think they've moved on, and I think this is why I think they potentially treated him a little bit shabbily towards the end.
Essentially, but I genuinely don't think they thought he was going to come back, because all the specialists said that he won't play again.
Yeah.
So I just think that they didn't think he was going to come back, so they had to move on.
If you had to pick the team who did better than expected last year, who would you pick?
Tampa Bay.
Really though,
Super Bowl.
So soon as Tom Brady went there, you knew they weren't finishing bottom in that conference.
But there are a lot of questions about Tom Brady, even though he's like the greatest of all time, supposedly, and all that. There's still a lot of questions hanging over him being another team and being a system quarterback. So he had a lot of doubters and a lot of people to prove wrong.
Yeah, but that team was stacked. I'm sorry, but even under Winston, the team was stacked.
You look at that defense.
Yeah,
it's unreal. And the fact that they had a good draft, and they got Winfield in, they got Wirfs in, they added some really good pieces who have turned into properly good starters for them.
Took gambles on some free agencies with Brown and Fournette. Yeah.
And a lot at the start of the season, if you asked a lot of the pundits who their tip was, it was Kansas City and Tampa in the Super Bowl. So for me, that's not a surprise. It's not. I thought Dolphins defense, that was a surprise. I thought they turned out to be particularly good. I think Tua needs to be given some weapons, and I think Dolphins could be a reasonable shout next year. Because I think they had the most interceptions in the NFL. So the defense really stepped up in comparison to what they've been like in previous years.
Did they possibly rush Tua in a bit too quickly? Maybe kept Fitzpatrick, who was on a bit of a run, giving Tua a bit more time to settle in? Because it did show when he first started.
Yeah, it did.
They don't do that anymore, though, do they? It's not like when Rodgers was behind Favre for a few years. They don't seem to do that these days with the quarterbacks. And I don't know. I agree, Charles. I don't know whether that kind of ruins them before they actually get the ability to learn the position at that kind of elite level.
Funnily enough, they did it with Mahomes, didn't they? He won't start first season.
No. He came, I think, about week 11, 12.
Yeah. Yeah, but didn't they only start him because they'd already made the playoffs?
Yeah.
Smith had already got him to the playoffs.
Yeah. They'd not won or lost a game or something. They're sort of like, we're going to take a bit of pressure off Smith.
But nobody sees Fitzpatrick. He's slightly different. Everyone sees him as a journeyman. So he wasn't like the regular main starting quarterback. He was always there to be replaced. But I just think they just rushed it a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But then again, you're probably looking at some of the other rookie quarterbacks that came in and made instant impacts, you know, like Herbert. And I think, you know, if you're Dolphins, the sooner you can get your rookie in to start making that kind of impact, the better. So, they've probably done a calculated gamble that he's going to make a similar impact.
Yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Exactly, yeah.
Going on to probably the biggest drop-off in the season then. So did Pittsburgh have an easy fixture list or did they just fall off a cliff?
I don't think they were that good. I mean, we played them when we were at our lowest and I think they beat us by 3 points. I think they scored a field goal at the end to beat us.
Looking to win that game.
And that was to me when I saw that. And I watched them a bit closer a few weeks after that and thought, yeah, they're not. And it's harsh to say that because they had a great first two-thirds of the season, didn't they? But they never looked dominated.
I know a few Steelers fans are like, well, we beat Baltimore, Tennessee within a couple of weeks, the playoff contenders, but Baltimore didn't have the best season because everyone's found Lamar Jackson out now. Tennessee had an off day in that game. Dallas got beat by the field goal.
I think there's still questions about Jackson. I don't know whether they've found him out. I just think there's questions about him. With regards to the Steelers, for me, I think it fell apart for them because they came far too one-dimensional. And I know Steelers have always been a very pass-heavy team, but as soon as James Conner fell apart behind that O-line and they stopped the ability to be able to run and he got injured and then you're bringing in players like Samuels and then Benny Snell, they were at the level that Conner was at and they became very one-dimensional with their offense, which when you're one-dimensional in the NFL, you become easier to set your defense up. You can go cover, you can go man, you can double team Juju. You could probably get Deontay Johnson probably covered up on the deeps, and it just kind of takes away some of the edge that they had. And a lot of the good teams, when they line up, you don't know whether it's a pass or a run, and that then obviously makes the defense second guess, which is where that builds in your opportunities. And for me, I think the Steelers just became a little bit one-dimensional with what they were trying to do on offense.
Roethlisberger's not about to change, is he? And I've heard he's coming back next season
just
as well.
He's restructured his contract, hasn't he? Yeah,
he is. But I think they need to get some form of run game going because the other Steelers teams, in 2019 and 2018, James Conner was a decent running back. He was getting, probably a 1,000-yard season. But this year, he didn't do anything.
No, and they've always had that effect, haven't they, with Bell before as well. They always had the option of the run.
Yeah.
But if you've got a run game, you can control the clock. And I think Tom Brady showed that in the Super Bowl, is that when he got himself the touchdown, he controlled the clock brilliantly, and that was by using, you know, Leonard Fournette, by using Roland Jones, and then because the defenses line up thinking that they're going to run it, that opens up those kind of screen passes, it opens up some of the shorts, the slants, the post routes, and that's where a quarterback comes into his own then, because he's making the defense always second guess what's going to happen. Whereas if you haven't got that run game, or you haven't got a good run game, it just makes it a little bit easier for the defense to kind of work out what's going to happen.
Yeah. Obviously, Houston just fell apart before the season even started last year, because obviously they traded Hopkins right before it started. Issues with coach, being general manager, and all fallout before it even started, and it's not really got any better for them, and it's going to continue to get worse, I can imagine, before next season starts.
I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out that Bill O'Brien is on another team's payroll and he was sent in as a secret spy to completely dismantle the Texans.
Because they have literally gone from being playoff Super Bowl contenders, yeah, playoff contenders, to being potentially bottom of that conference by end of next season.
Yeah.
We saw them twice, season before last.
And they ripped apart the Patriots, didn't they, in one game? Yeah. Yeah. Brady looked like an idiot. We actually thought after that game, he was gone. His legs have gone, everything's gone.
Well, that was at the same time we were in America. So I watched that game. I watched the game from New York in one of the bars, and I was like, oh, dear, this is the end of the Pats, which they were going down anyway. But I was like, this is the start of Houston. And then how it's changed.
Just ask Ian how much he remembers about that game.
I remember everything about that game, mate.
Okay, that's all right. We're moving on.
You're talking about the other Houston game. Okay. So obviously, you don't remember much about those games.
I remember seeing Charles had the right T-shirt for one at games.
He had two T-shirts. That was, you know, we've got this thing where wherever we go to get a game, watch a game, Charles tries to get a shirt, so he'll get a T-shirt for one of the teams.
Cheapest as possible.
So we got to this game, and he's wearing a Patriots T-shirt going to this game to Houston. So I'm like, you're such a moron. We get to about halfway through the third quarter. He taps me on the shoulder. I turned around, and he's got a Texans T-shirt on. And he'd had a T-shirt in his pocket ready for whoever was winning.
Less said about that, the better. Yeah. Anyway, have Houston gone from that sort of play to the team that nobody wants to play for?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, because I think there's going to be a lot of players out there, you know, rookies and people that don't make cap restrictions and stuff like that, that want to play NFL ball, and or people that have got a lot to prove. So, you know, I wouldn't say that nobody wants to play for them, because they are still an NFL franchise, and it's still, you know, the pinnacle of the, you know, American football. So I won't say nobody wants to play him, but it does take them out of kind of the elite talent group in free agency, doesn't it?
But yeah, they're going to get those that other teams don't want out there, basically.
Unless they throw money at them.
Yeah.
Because they are going to have the cap space. Yeah. So, you know, if you're talking a player that's, let's say, a middle-of-the-road player that's maybe going to sign for a team that's not going to challenge for the Super Bowl, but it's going to probably be an 8-8 team, they could probably sign those players just by outbidding.
Yeah. What we haven't talked about is, what about Deshaun Watson? Is he going to end up there?
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah. He's so gone.
Definitely.
He's not playing for him again. And from what I've read, he's going to dig his heels in.
Mm. Where's he going?
Well, he's got a no-trade clause contract, so he basically gets to pick. So if a team comes in and the Texans accept it, he can basically turn around and say, I don't want to play for them, and stay at the Texans.
Yeah, and so it's the only sort of rule, in it, a bit like where it's English transfers, where a player actually has a bit of power.
But who actually has the draft capital to make a play for him?
What if Dallas don't sign Prescott?
I don't think they've got the draft capital.
I think they have. I think they'll. Well, I think he'll end up being franchise tagged again.
Yeah, I think
they'll make it work, but I don't. I think he'll be on a tag, franchise tag.
Totally, Prescott.
Yeah.
No, sorry, I thought you meant if Prescott left, that Dallas would go after Watson.
Yeah, no, I was talking about if Prescott, whether they sign Prescott or not, Dallas.
Oh, I think they'll tag him again.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll be cheaper than what he'll be asking for. Yeah. And I think they'll say, you need to prove us that you can produce with your leg.
But is Dak even going to be back before September?
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact details now, but they did seem to think he was going to be right the way through the season, that he was going to be back for next season. But you never know with a leg break, do you?
No. And how they're going to come back.
Yeah.
I am waiting for what looks like it's going to be the bloody quarterback merry-go-round to start.
Happens every year, doesn't it? Well, before we move on to next season, not many head coach sackings last year, which is probably a first, but a lot of people are saying it is down to because no fans there, so there was no displeasure from any fans on a normal basis. But I think
it was displeasure.
Yeah, but it was. Yeah, but not.
Bring back Jason Garrett.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Who?
But because the fans obviously weren't there week in, week out, it wasn't seen as much. But I think
as vocal, you mean?
Yeah, I think Detroit got the wishes though in getting rid of Patricia. I think that was the most long-awaited sacking, I think, apart from the Bill O'Brien one.
Can I just come back to something that Ian just said about Jason Garrett? Bring back Jason Garrett. Does he want him back at Dallas by any chance, with McCarthy performing like he's doing?
Things aren't that bad, although they're not far off.
Very, very disappointed with McCarthy at Dallas.
I was surprised if it might have been better.
Yeah, I know he dropped off. He dropped off a bit at the Packers and was probably well replaced. But he had a season out, and I thought he'd come back down in it, Dallas.
He cost us the game in week 17 when we could have got in the playoffs. And we'd have got slaughtered in the playoffs. But if he'd have thrown that flag, we'd have been in the playoffs. And he didn't.
Did you want to get in the playoffs, though?
Well, you always do, but I know what you mean. You also don't, do you, when you're that bad? Because you still have that like little thing thinking, maybe.
At least you didn't throw the game, though, like Philly did against Washington.
Yeah, but I don't blame...
Maybe you've all got McCarthy wrong, and he deliberately didn't throw that flag. And he's going to shine again next season.
Yeah, but that with Philly, I don't blame him for doing that. Why shouldn't they do it? As much as I don't like Philly, you know what I think of them. Why should they risk somebody getting a really bad injury that might have put them out at the start of next season for a game that meant absolutely nothing to them? So, you know, when I'm saying actually Dallas would have got in the playoffs, obviously they wouldn't, would they? Because
Philly did that.
The Philly and Washington game, yeah.
I was actually quite surprised at how well Washington did in the playoffs, to be honest.
Yeah.
They played well.
Especially with Heinicke as well. That's why I think he'll be starting QB there next year.
They weren't bad at the back end of last season. You know, I thought they might make a decent account of themselves.
Yeah.
They were the best team in that division.
Not bad. Not saying a lot, though, is it?
One thing I will say
is everybody jumps on that division when it's having a bad season.
I know what you're going to say. How many times do you get that?
And you all saw that in whatever groups you're in, you see that. And the fact is, the rules are the rules. And that team, that division, all of them have won Super Bowls. You've got a division with the Colts in and the Jags. They've won two Super Bowls. All four teams have won two Super Bowls in their history, all together. Why should they get a team in the playoffs every year? Yeah, when it's the NFC East, everybody starts talking about it. Just annoys me. It's the way it is.
It's because Dallas are in there. I think that's why it gets a lot more.
It's Dallas.
You've answered your own question. Is it's for that exact reason? Because as a Cowboys fan, it annoys you, and that's the only reason. And Eagles fans get equally annoyed about it. That's why it's been done. Because Eagles fan and Cowboys fans seem to be the easiest to wind up. So that's why it's done. And the fact that you're still moaning about it now means it's obviously worked.
NFL news and rumours.
Right. So, we'll now bridge from last season going to this year. Obviously, league starts next week where they can start making artificial cuts and stuff. Bit of news coming out tonight. Seattle are going to listen to trade offers from Chicago, Las Vegas, New Orleans, Dallas for Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson had a very funny end to the season. That's all I'll say on that. And I think he'd be well. I think he's more than likely on his toes and out of there.
He's out of Seattle. It's where he ends up. But I don't.
I feel sorry for Russell Wilson because they don't ever seem to want to invest in an O-line to protect him.
No.
No, it's been like it for years, hasn't it?
For years. He's been running about, basically trying to save in his own arse, and he's just got fed up of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably thinking, I'm getting older, I can't run around as much. I'd like to just, you know, better protection.
Yeah. Because his stats are there. He's one of the best.
Yeah, but out of that list of teams, I can't see... I mean, Cowboys, I don't think, have got the capital to get him.
Saints have definitely got no cap room. So Saints must be out of the question. Yeah.
Saints would have to cut their entire team to get him. Bears is a possibility. They have the ability to get him, and they've got the cap room.
But Bears want Watson as well, so they can go for both.
Well, I think the Bears are the most likely to sign one of them two, I think. Which would make the North a little bit more interesting, because Turbo Trubisky was quite entertaining.
You've got Goff obviously gone to down to Detroit now.
Goff's going to get hammered left, right and centre in Detroit.
Because
I don't think he's as good as Stafford. And Stafford is quite elusive. I know he's not fast, but he's quite an elusive quarterback. And I don't think Goff's got the experience yet. I think he could be in for a really rude shock when he gets to Detroit.
Do you remember when they were on Hard Knocks as well? In Goff's first season?
Yeah.
And it was apparent then that he wasn't the most intelligent of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And he ended up with McVay coming in, and McVay had to simplify the playbook for Goff. Yeah. Well, he hadn't got McVay looking after him anymore either.
To be honest, that's why that trade was so much in draft capital, because they were taking on just a ridiculous contract.
Yeah.
But he's also Goff
first just because of that contract.
Yeah.
But Goff's gone from the laid back Californian approach to some very passionate Detroit fans who will be on his back from game one.
Yeah.
It'd be just to see if he survives.
And like Stuart said, he's gonna be in for some tasty derbies in the NFC North now.
I'm not sure about Goff, to be honest. But, I mean, back to Wilson and Watson. For me, Bears is the only team I can put my hand on, think they could get one of them too. They've got the cap space, and they've probably got the draft capital to get one of them. And I don't know which one they'll go for. I mean, who else was on that list, Richard? You said for Wilson.
Oh, Vegas.
Yeah, but I can't see what they would do with Derek Carr. They'd have to trade Derek Carr first.
Yeah.
And you aren't going to trade him and not get...
I'll just say something about Derek Carr. Is it Mayock has just given him a vote of confidence?
Yeah.
Right, Mayock, yeah.
Now, when managers give footballers in this country a vote of confidence...
Did that last much longer?
It means they'll be out the door the next week. But in this case, I think Carr is a good fit for... Vegas, so I don't think that'll change this season. But Gruden may think differently, because I don't think Gruden is that keen on Carr.
Mariota will be out of Vegas.
Yeah, Mariota will be out of Vegas because he's got some potential capital in getting traded. For me, the way I look at it with a quarterback is if you're going to move from the current quarterback to your next quarterback, are you doing a significant step up in standard for what you're going to give away? So moving from Carr to Watson or Wilson is definitely a step up. But what they're going to have to pay for him, is that step up worth what they're going to have to pay for him moving away from Carr, is my point. Because Carr is still a very serviceable quarterback. And they're probably going to have to give up at least two firsts, probably three, to get either of them two. Definitely Watson.
I don't think you've seen the best from Carr yet. I think the team... is still in a transitional phase.
He had a better season last year.
Yeah. But I think this coming season is the season to judge him on. Players are starting to get together.
Yeah, that's my point. Do you give up on Carr and spend three first-round picks to go to Watson? Is it going to be that much of a step up?
You look back 3 years ago, Carr could have taken the Raiders to the Super Bowl when he broke his leg right at the end of the season. They were looking the hottest team in the NFL. Yeah. And if it hadn't been for that broken, they then just went out straight away in the playoffs, didn't they?
He had
that potential.
The back quarterbacks were some of the worst I've seen at the Raiders. But when they crashed out.
Yeah.
But embarrassing. I mean, the other one is where do we think Sam Darnold's going? Because unless we think the Jets are going to trade out at number two,
they're taking Fields, aren't they?
No, I think they'll take Zach Wilson.
Or Wilson.
I think Fields will fall. I think he'll fall out of top five.
I think the problem Sam Darnold's got is that because is he the problem behind the Jets, or is he propping up the Jets? And if he's propping them up, it's worth them sticking with him and using their second pick to draft someone else in another department.
I'm with you, Charles. I don't think Sam Darnold has been given a fair crack of the whip, to be honest. I don't think he's had a particularly good O-line, and I don't think he's had any weapons with regards to his wide receivers. He's not had any kind of running game, so he's effectively been it for the Jets, which I think to bail on him now is a bit harsh. I think he's still got a lot to offer for a team.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that means that the Jets trade out of number two. You know, and you could see a team like the Bears trading up to number two if they don't get Wilson or Watson.
Yeah, look what happened last time they traded up.
Yeah, they passed on Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I the reason I think Fields will fall is not because I think he's got a lot of potential, but I think a lot of teams will want a quarterback for now, and I think Fields needs a couple of years, because I don't think he looks after the ball as well as Lawrence and Wilson. He's got a lot more turnovers. He's a lot more, let's say, loosey-goosey with his passing. And I think he just needs to tie that up. But he's got all the athleticism and the raw mechanics to be a really good quarterback. But I don't think he's quite as NFL-ready as the other ones, and that's purely based on his turnovers.
We are guessing, I said, Jags aren't going to mess it up and they are going to go Lawrence, aren't they? They aren't going to do Jacksonville special and pick someone else.
I don't know. I saw an ESPN report today. I had him fall into number two and Jags took Wilson.
I think the danger with the Jags is, as I understand it, they've got a lot of money, a lot of cap space, and they'll be like kids in the sweet shop.
But they did this 3 years ago. They went and got everybody. They lost at Pats in AFC game. Yeah. And then one by one, they all left because they ran out of money.
Yeah, they've spent 3 years, haven't they, building up that good young team,
yeah,
got to the championship and just made a mess of it.
They should have won that championship game as well.
Yeah, they should.
Where they went wrong was they had Blake Bortles at quarterback.
He's a highly commodible fantasy player, Stuart, I'll let you know.
He isn't. In that game against the Pats, he ran more than he passed. He ran for more yards than he passed for.
But,
yeah, the Jags will make a mess of it again.
But they're doing the exact same thing. Charles, like I said, they've got loads of money, but they were in this situation 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Brought Calais Campbell in from Arizona, brought all the others in.
He had Fournette. They couldn't do anything with Fournette, could they? And look at him in the Super Bowl.
But yeah, and not just at Super Bowl. As soon as he turned up at Tampa, playoffs. He was like,
yeah, bang. Particularly the playoffs, though, yeah.
Well, let's be positive about him and say you live and learn. You know, they messed up last time. They'll get it right this time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'll skip on Trevor Lawrence. He's probably the best. Well, he is the best quarterback in that group.
Yeah. JJ Watt wanted to go to a championship-winning team. He's from Wisconsin, so everyone's like, he's going to Green Bay. He was pictured in a gym with loads of Green Bay stuff. Ends up at Arizona.
With Chandler Jones, you got DeAndre Hopkins.
I read an article today.
It's a good move.
That said that JJ Watt had gone to considerable lengths to disguise where he was going, even to the point where he'd been buying tops from various other teams, not using someone else's credit card, because that would have been wrong, but someone else buying them for him, so they didn't see the name on it, so there was no leaks or anything, and suddenly ends up at the Cardinals.
There's a lot of that. This is a lot of disrespect to the Cardinals, because
I think
they've got a very, very good team.
Yeah.
What, 8-8 last year, weren't they?
Yeah. Just missed out, didn't they, on the playoffs?
Yeah.
It was on. In fact, one's got the same record as the Bears. Weren't they both 8-8?
Didn't Bears get it on? Was it something minute it went?
One of the tiebreakers, yeah.
They have a very young team, though.
Yeah.
I think there's a few areas they need to strengthen. I think, obviously, if Pat P does go into free agency, then obviously they're going to need to strengthen that secondary. And again, I don't think Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds are going to be enough you know, in the backfield for him. But I think with regards to the wide receivers, I think Christian Kirk's a good wide receiver. And obviously they've got Diop. I think they're pretty set, to be honest. They've got a good team.
49ers dropped off last year. Russell Wilson leaves Seattle. Rams are in rebuild, it seems. Yeah. Arizona effectively could be the best team in that division.
Yeah, I think
when it's that season starts.
Cardinals have a good year.
Yeah. I don't know if Rams are in rebuild. I think Rams are still win now.
I think Rams with Stafford, it's very much win now for them.
I think they're more likely to win with Stafford than they were ever with Goff. And if they can get to the playoffs with Goff, I think they could
Stafford
go
all the way.
Yeah,
they could go a lot of way. But yeah. I agree with you, Richard. I think Cardinals are. I've got a good enough team to really challenge in that division.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, I've still got some questions over Jimmy G, to be honest, and I think so 49ers.
Yeah.
But if they get all their roster healthy again, that's going to be a division to watch. It's really going to be a
well, that was 49ers' biggest problem, wasn't it? I think they lost like 7 starters in the first 3 weeks at season. You can't replace that.
Yeah.
They didn't have any wide receivers at one point, did they? Or they didn't have any 100% fit wide receivers.
Or when one came back, another one went out. I think when Debo came back, they lost someone else.
And I think towards the end, weren't they using the running back from the practice squad?
They brought the running back. They signed the quarterback who no one wanted from the draft. Was at Cardinals. Whenever he went to Tampa, and they picked him off practice squad at end. Rosen. He ended up at 49ers by end of season, but never played.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think Watson or Wilson could end up at 49ers? Or is that not a...
No,
well, what Wilson said, there's only 4 teams he'll go to, isn't there?
Yeah, Wilson's... Them, the 4 teams I've mentioned, they're the only ones he'll play for.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Watson's going to pick, isn't he?
Yeah.
Watson's going to pick because of that no trade clause.
But I think we were discussing it before with Luke, obviously the massive 49ers, but I don't think 49ers are one of these teams, they've got no money and they haven't got the draft capital because they've used it in previous years.
But they need it back.
There were some rumours kicking about that there was going to be a round robin trade between 49ers, Houston and Vikings, but I can't see that happening either. And it was, I can't remember what it was. So we traded Cousins to.
Did he end up at 49ers?
Yeah, we traded Cousins to 49ers. The 49ers traded Jimmy G to Houston. And then we sent two firsts, a third, and a player to the Houston Texans for Watson. That was the rumor, but I just can't see it. I can't see it.
No, I know triangular trades are very popular in NBA, but they don't really happen. It's very rare. In NFL, it's normally team and team. They don't like to let others get involved.
I can't think of any.
No.
Come off in recent years.
What about Cousins going back to California then?
Yeah, keep him where he is. Doing a good job there.
as funny as it sounds, Charles, I think his contract, I think that's what's stopping him being traded.
Yeah.
I think the Vikings have backed themselves into a corner. And I think he's got something like $22 million dead cap for this year. So we can't do anything with him either. So we've effectively got to roll with him for the next 2 years.
One interesting one is reading today, because we're looking at probably going to be trading Gilmore away, just because they're not going to re-sign him. He was linked with Packers today. But what he'll cost, and if teams are... This is about Stewart's argument. Are teams with the COVID restrictions and the money drop, are teams willing to pay for these players? They might have done.
How old is he?
Well, he's not old. He's an older cornerback from obviously rookies, but he's not. The quality's still there. But it depends what team's goals are. Do they want to get a young'un in who they can have 5-6 years with?
I worry about Pats really, because you're losing Tooney as well, aren't you? So. Yeah.
Well, losing everyone.
Unless you franchise tag him again, which I can't see.
Well, it's either we franchise tag him or we pay Andrews. But I was reading today that they could get a deal with Fernie. But there's too many. James White's going. There's so many potential. But all the opt-outs are coming back. Hightower, Chung.
so that'll help. But
we've got money to spend.
We're at second highest behind Jags with cap space.
Can we borrow some?
No, I think we need it. Cause we've got to get, unless we're going to bring back crazy Cam Newton for another 12 months.
I think Kyle Rudolph's going to end up at Patriots as well, to be honest.
Well, we've been linked with Hunter Henry as well. But we need someone to, throw the ball.
I still think Cam Newton has got potential. He's just not got his eye on the ball. He's got too much going off outside of the game.
And I think you've been drinking, Charles.
No, I just think he's better.
I think your hair's been pulled back too tight. It's affecting your brain.
And I think, good job we're not on video. And I think, you know, if you just concentrate on less on what he looked like and concentrate more on the game, I think you've still got a decent...
All or nothing on Carolina Panthers when he sat dancing around to be Beyonce.
Yeah, he's lost his way, and it can be with the right management,
He had Belichick. That's got to be the right management. Anybody's going to turn him around.
He hasn't been the same.
Sorry, Charles.
It's the right management for the right
I don't agree with you. The reason why Cam Newton was so good was because he had the legs and the physicality to be able to run the ball. And what came with that was his receivers used to get open because of that kind of uncertainty that whether he's going to run it or not. Now that he's stopped running, he has to sit there and pass it. He has not got the intelligence to read the defense, and he's not going through his reads quick enough to move from his read one to his read two to his read three to pick out which is the best one. And he basically goes to read one, it's not there, and then he starts to panic, and then he gets sacked or he fumbles around. And that's what he is at the minute.
I know I'm going against popular opinion with that, but I just think it's a concentration level, and he's got to learn to love himself a little bit less and maybe love his team. And I think he's still got mileage in him. But yeah, again, we'll see.
I think his injuries have crippled him.
Has Cam Newton ever recovered from the stellar season when he's got the Panthers Super Bowl 50 and then Broncos tore him apart in the first half?
Where he didn't want to drop on that ball.
Yeah.
he hasn't recovered because he's still trying to recover that fumble,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah.
But he hasn't been the same player. Because obviously he's had all them injuries since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's his injuries that have done for him. He's not anywhere near he was. And this is my worry for someone like Lamar Jackson, is how short-lived is his career going to be if he's going to be running around.
Yeah.
You know, the longevity of running quarterbacks is pretty short.
Which is a shame if it is for Jackson, because I think Jackson's fun to watch. I do like watching the Ravens with him.
I think he's fun to watch because it's almost like playing Tig in the playground. Nobody can get anywhere near him.
I know
But for me, is that what you want from a quarterback? Could you get
not,
that same
not your own quarterback, you don't, but it's other teams, it's fine.
But yeah, but if you were like Marquise Brown, it's like, do you want to throw a ball? I'm here.
Yeah.
If you're a Baltimore receiver.
The wide receiver group in Baltimore have had the lowest receiving yards for the last 2 years. Out of the NFL, out of all 32 teams, have had the lowest receiving yards. His tight end gets fed a lot, but his actual receiving core, you know, Brown, Snead, Boykin,
Dez,
I think they've got the lowest. I think I'm right in saying that for the last two seasons, they've had the lowest in the NFL.
But that doesn't mean he's not making people sit up and take notice, and he is. Changing things, even if he's a bit.
I agree with you. He's got questions to answer. I think that's the thing. But hopefully he can step up. Yeah.
This is what
I like him.
This is what I was saying at the start, where stats can actually cloud your judgment about somebody. Because if you look at his stats, he's probably got reasonable passing stats. Probably most of them are to tight ends, and he's got obviously phenomenal rushing stats. But actually, when you break it down, his passing stats to wide receivers on the outside, maybe some of those threading the eye of a needle passes, how many of them does he do? That's where you've kind of got to look into the detail a little bit more, and that for me is where he's still got questions to answer.
Definitely. We haven't touched on it yet. Ian, I know you'll have an opinion on this. Carson Wentz to Colts. What happened in Philly? Where did it go wrong? What happened?
He's always been rubbish.
Nick Foles.
He's never been very good, has he?
He's not played a full season yet either, has he? He gets to December and gets injured.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. He did have that. The season where he got injured, where Foles came in, but I mean, that Eagles team was a really good team. I'm not going to say a great team, but
it was a good team.
He was on path for an MVP as well. But I quite like it because I think the Colts O-line will be able to protect him, and they've got a very good defense of the Colts. So I think the Colts is probably the best fit for him if he is going to do something.
Yeah, he's got to prove it. Yeah, he's got to prove himself now, hasn't he? This season coming.
This is it.
Yeah. I think he's
a step up on Rivers, though.
Rivers did a good job, but because he had the protection.
Yeah, well, he's too busy worrying about getting somebody pregnant, isn't he, than playing blue football.
What do Atlanta move on from Matt Ryan this year? Or do Atlanta just need to learn how to keep a lead?
Ooh, says a Pats fan.
To be honest, I don't think the Falcons' offense is the issue. I think it's the defense. They could probably do with some help on the O-line, but I think it's the secondary. They got torched by everybody, literally everybody. And I don't think the linebackers were much help because they were getting run all over as well. It's the defense that needs addressing. I don't think Matt Ryan's the issue.
Well, there's got to be something wrong with the coaching as well. When they're throwing leads like they did, I mean,
was it four weeks?
One score leads. You're talking 3 and 4 score leads that they're giving away week in, week out. You can't do that.
Yeah. No. I agree. Yeah. But they got rid of him in what was his name? Was it Dan Quinn?
Dan Quinn. Yeah. They go week.
He went something like week 7 or 8, and they got better after that. So I don't know. For me, the Falcons picking the draft is the one that I'm most interested in because they're in that kind of. I thought was they got number 6.
Yeah, if someone drops out top 5, they're there to.
Yeah, they've got the potential. Like if Wilson or Fields drops out of the top 5, or even someone like Penny Sewell, if they drop out of that top 5 bracket, they're kind of in prime real estate for somebody to trade up or for them to get. You know, best player available, BPA. So that's, for me, is an interesting slot that they've got because I don't know where they'll go. Because to Richard's point, they could, if Wilson or Fields drops out of that top 5, they could pick a quarterback, sit them behind Matt Ryan for a year or potentially 2 years to see out Ryan's contract and then give that quarterback the best possible chance to come in. Mm. Or they could go... defense.
If they're happy with Ryan, you'd go D, wouldn't you? You'd try and improve that defense. If you're going to persist with Ryan and quarterback it in 2022,
how old is Ryan? 31? 35.
Yeah.
Is he that old?
35, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, my gut feeling is they'll probably go with Caleb Farley or maybe, is it Satan? Those are the two top cornerbacks in the draft. So that's where I think they should go. But then again, they need safety because Keanu Neal's going on free agency, isn't he? So they've got a need at safety, and he's probably one of their better players in the secondary. So I generally don't know what the Falcons are going to do. I think they've got a fair few needs that they need to address. But for me, they could easily, if they want to roll with Ryan, they could easily draft out of that slot, get some draft capital to actually fill those gaps in later rounds. Do you know what I mean? If a team really wants a quarterback, so like we were saying, if the Bears think, oh, we can come up and we can get Fields or we can get Wilson, and they're giving away maybe a first, a second, and a third, then actually that might make more sense for the Falcons to get some draft capital to maybe plug some of the gaps that they need.
Well, that was one of the things because Pats were on about maybe trading up and we're going to use Gilmore as an asset. And a couple more because we've got draft capital, but we need more than that. So they were saying Gilmore might get used, but then someone put, we've just got rid of Pats win everything. Who's actually going to help Pats move up in draft to get better?
What number have you got?
15.
Yeah, see, I think Vikings will trade down.
Yeah, I really do. I think we'll trade up, but I don't know how high we'll go.
Yeah, I think it depends on who takes what where. You know, there's rumours that Mac Jones might get taken in the top 10 now as well. So that's potentially four quarterbacks in that top 10 that could get taken, which means that you've got kind of those top two cornerbacks that could drop. You've got, is it Darisaw, the DT? I think he's the best DT in the class, so he could drop. You've got Penny Sewell, who's apparently a generational talent at tackle, that might drop. So it's where these all drop to then what teams want to come up. I think it's going to be an interesting one. And because there's no combines, every team is going to be scouting players completely differently. So you might even see some proper random picks going on.
And don't forget, when you're saying generational talent, it's potentially, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
I mean, you look at, one thing I was looking at was the Rams, and they were talking about with this trade getting Stafford. They haven't had a first round draft pick since that quarterback they just traded.
And they haven't got one for a few years now.
No, they haven't. They just trade them out. They don't use first round draft picks at all. And they've still built a decent team, haven't they, over the last few years?
Yeah.
More than a decent team.
Yeah.
No, more than the draft to actually build your team. That's what I'm saying.
No.
But Vikings do something similar. We kind of accumulate later round picks, like rounds 5, 6, and 7. We seem to accumulate. Like, I think last year we had like seven rounders.
Yeah, because you know some of them are going to come on, aren't they? So,
yeah, because you know some of them. Are gonna,
yeah.
And we've got to remember as well, it's the biggest free agency ever, and free agency happens before the draft. So that can change teams' outcome come draft. If Pats get a quarterback, they're not trading up. Or if someone else picks someone up, if it top 10 team gets a quarterback outside of Jacksonville and Jets, they might trade down if they wanted a quarterback, but they might secure one, like Chicago.
Yeah, but if Chicago get a quarterback that they want, then it means that they might not be trading up to 2, which means it forces Jets into making a decision. Yeah. Do they need a quarterback or do they don't need a quarterback?
They're going to go with Darnold.
Are they going to go with Darnold, which means that Wilson could fall, Fields could fall. All free agency for me is going to kind of set the tone for who's going to take what in the draft. Because, you know, there was rumours that the Vikings were going to look at taking an edge, but we've just signed, it looks like Weatherly's coming back in free agency now, and obviously Hunter's going to be back. So does that mean that our edge requirement in the draft is now maybe a later round pick rather than our first round pick?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting one. Yeah. I mean, we've been linked with Short as well from Panthers, who's a nose tackle, and that was one of the players that was listed on our draft need as well. So, again, that means that we could just be lining up to take best player available in the draft or trade down.
Possible.
I think it'd be interesting. I think the
next month is going to be really interesting with free agents and end of April into Cleveland for a draft. And then you never know. Green Bay might. Well, they can't upset Aaron Rodgers this year because they drafted quarterback last year.
Yeah,
no, I don't think they'll take a wide receiver.
No, upset. That's interesting because most of the Packers running backs are up on free agency as well, aren't they? Aaron Jones is up, free agent.
Yeah, he's free agent.
The backup to Jones is a free agent in running game. So Williams.
Williams.
So it's interesting because like I said, all these teams, they're having to restructure. Big Ben's restructured. Drew Brees has restructured because these teams have got no money.
Come on, Kirk Cousins. Restructure that contract. Do us all a favour. Come on.
He's not going to restructure, is he? Because he knows when he's on a money spinner. He's never going to get another good contract.
But he said...
You say that, Ian, but I think you potentially could restructure and he could take it as a bonus rather than salary, which reduces his salary cap hit. He still gets paid the same money. Yeah. In fact, he gets it up front, but we have less cap hit, therefore we've got more money to spend in free agency. So the restructures aren't necessarily about taking less money.
No, Dallas have been doing that for years and years.
Brady did it for nearly 20 years.
That's why people say cap's a myth, because, you know, players will just get signing bonuses for 20 million and get paid 5 million salary.
Brady did it for years. Get restructuring his deal so they could get other players, but he made it back in bonuses and paid bonuses for winning Super Bowls and stuff. So,
yeah,
And they'll do. They reckon he'll do that at Tampa at the end of next season because they'll stay on in Tampa. If he wants to carry on playing, they'll restructure it. So, well, it's been interesting, Sean. I'm sure, Ian, we're going to end with your interesting stat. I know you're going to blow us all away with this.
Oh, no, you've built it up too much now. It's not that interesting. I'll have to come up with a better one for next week. But
remember, we've got Jeff on next week, so you'll have to have some on your A game for that one.
Jeff who?
This, so be careful.
Is that the dude from Soccer Saturday?
Anymore.
Unbelievable. I like
that. Yeah, he was good in Coronation Street. He really was.
Yeah, it was, wasn't
it? Jay Cutler is the only first-round draft pick by the Broncos ever to make a Pro Bowl. I just read that this morning. I just thought that was quite a good fact.
Jay Cutler.
Yeah, Jay Cutler.
He's the worst quarterback Stewart's ever seen play a game of football. And his opposing opposing player that day was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No. What? And this isn't the guy's fault. The Steelers guy this year, when they didn't have a quarterback, and they got that wide receiver off the streets. What was he called?
That wasn't Steelers, was it?
No, that wasn't Steelers, was it? It was Denver, because Denver had all the COVID, didn't they?
It was Denver. Yeah.
He played two games at high school at quarterback, so he was drafted in.
I can remember ringing Charles and says, have you got the Denver game on his line now? He says, seriously, put it on. The first time we got past his O-line, he literally just ran off. Not trying to hide, he's just running.
I think I looked at the stats at the end of the game and I think he had one pass completion.
Was it for 8 yards? Yeah, it was something like 8 yards.
Yeah. Can you imagine the wide receiver group in the team meeting? Oh, lads, Steve's quarterback this week. Might as well just stay. Oh, we're going to Bender on Saturday night.
It's definitely interesting.
Yeah. Yes. So. Yeah. Just on one last thing. We are looking to go to America next year, me and Charles, or this year, I should say now. So hopefully we can do, we can maybe do podcasts while we're in America. Because we did miss that last year.
Sure,
to be honest, I've always thought that Charles could do better than you. I don't know why he stays with you.
He can't get anybody else to go to America with him. That's what it is.
I've got no friends. That's a problem. I've got as many friends as are going to be listening to this podcast.
You have little faith.
Well, just us four then.
I'm not listening to it. It's been crap.
Why do I need to listen to it? I was on it. Yeah.
They said I have to beep you out this time, Ian. Not yet. I'll give it a couple of episodes.
Yeah, I thought I'd bed it in first before you beat me out.
But no. Pleasure as always, guys, and that's it. I've got Jeff on next week, so that'll be interesting. Join us from Hawaii. Yeah. So
very nice. Yeah.
So we're not going to see him.
We're not travelling out, no. I ain't had my jab yet, so I'm not going nowhere.
Only because the borders are closed, otherwise I'm sure on our budget we'd be
I was gonna say, is Richard paying for that?
Money bags to his friends.
I'm down for going on company expenses.
Company expenses, yeah,
first class.
Yeah.
I don't know if
that's the only reason we've agreed to appear on this, isn't it? Because Richard's paying for it all.
Yes, yeah,
I'm actually getting paid per episode. I don't know about you two.
No, he said what he was doing is he's restructured the deal with us, and he's paying for us to go out to America for 3 weeks.
He's restructured it so you're getting nothing up front.
All we're saying is
we're getting nothing up front,
Ian,
and then later on we'll be getting a zero bonus as well.
Just next time when you do go out, if you arrange any interviews, don't lose the second half of the interview.
Can I say that wasn't me? That was the idiot that I go with.
No, that wasn't actually that's still up for debate, because I think it might be the person who helped us with it.
Who was that? Dick Bob.
Can't leave Dick Bob. Yeah.
There's a story behind that for another day.
That will always remain a mystery.
It wasn't
just
Dick Bob. There was Dick Bob 2 as well.
Dick Bob. Yeah.
But he wasn't there at the interview.
Was that not a video game? Or that was Dick Doug, wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought I'd fall for that.
I've actually got the hat that he gave us behind me. There. I don't know if he told you, he'd give us two officials' hats that he'd worn in games.
Probably a bit dusty.
Yeah, mine was. I've just moved, so I cleaned it. Yeah, you can't see it.
Can't see it, Charles.
Yeah.
Too far too far too small for my head.
You look.
It's probably the man bun that's doing it.
Just put it back flat, Charles, on your head. Oh, it's the home pride guy off Jarrah Sauce.
Yeah, he should leave it on because it's taken the glare off his forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm setting my lighting for next time. With all the money I'm getting from Richard, I'll be able to get a proper lighting set up in.
Yeah, you should probably get some makeup on as well.
Yeah, cut your hair. Cut your hair as well.
What hair?
Anyway, guys, thanks for your time as always, and we'll everyone to tune in next week.
Cheers, lads. Good to speak
to
you.
I wouldn't.
Double the lesson after week one.
And cut.
Network. Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.